There's a company that is a copper producer. They were looked at as a commodity. So they came to us. They had a really boring name. Nobody would even understand what they are or who they were. We went through our process. We went through five steps. First thing we did with them is we talked to their employees, their leadership, their customers, their suppliers, their community, and said, okay, who are these people? What do they do? And what should they never, ever change? Because that's an important question. What should they not change? Because a lot of times entrepreneurs will change anything. Sometimes we're doing something really great. Let's not change it. Maybe that's why people come to work here. Maybe that's why people buy from us. Maybe that's why they are super fans. Let's not change that. The next step we did with this company was we went into their facility to look for differentiation, either in their product, their processes, their procedures, whatever. And we found a number of very interesting things they were doing and providing that were right in front of them.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Ready!
Hey, superfan superstar, Freddie D here. In this episode 96, we're joined by Barry LaBove, a two-time Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, celebrated author, and the founder of LaBove Marketing, Communications, and Training. Barry is a powerhouse brand strategist who helps companies uncover and amplify what makes them truly unique, empowering both their teams and their customers. His Amazon best-selling book, The Power of Differentiation, Win Hearts, Minds, and Market Share, captures his compelling approach to brand and leadership. Barry is also the co-host of Difference Talks, a podcast where he and the LaBove team dive deep into conversations with top-selling authors, CEOs, and performers from the worlds of sports and music. With clients like Harley Davidson, Copperworks, and Audi, and nearly 100 podcast appearances under his belt, Barry brings a wealth of energy, experience, and insights into every conversation.
Welcome, Barry, to the Business Superfans Podcast. Frederick, thank you very much. I'm excited. You and I share a lot of things in common. I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
We had a great pre-recording conversation, so I'm excited about it. Let's jump right into it, Barry. And what's the backstory? I know that you played a little bit of a musician. And how do you go from musician to creating the agency that you have today?
It was all an accident. I didn't mean to do it, Frederick, but what happened was I, as a young kid, teenager, started to write songs, play in a band with my brother. Then some really old guys that were like 18, 19, or 20 joined in. I didn't realize this at the moment, but I was running a small business. I was doing a lot of creative things. And I had to inspire everybody in the band to show up on time, perform their best, entertain the audience, get raving fans that wanted us to come back. As I did all of that, I started to realize that what I love most is creativity. Not so much just music, but creativity. That launched my company. Today, 40 plus years later, I have a company. We're doing work nationally and internationally. I still run the company like it's a rock band. I look for the talent in people. I look to inspire them to perform. I try to get my clients to realize how much we're bringing to the table. So it's been a natural extension, although kind of a bizarre journey.
That's an interesting story. What are some of the songs that you had wrote and put out?
I had songs published by Barry Manilow, Natalie Cole, and Billy Joel. I had a song on MTV and VH1 called On a Night Like This. all in all, if you add it all up, my song sold well under 1 million copies. So I didn't make any money on it. To this day, I get royalty checks every few months for $5, $8. And maybe that buys you a cup of coffee.
So tell us a little bit more about LaBove Agency and what is it that you guys do?
We focus on one thing and one thing only, and that's differentiation. We identify the uniqueness that a brand has, whether it's a small company, large company, nonprofit, for-profit. We discover it and help the client name it and promote it. And most important, and Freddie D loves this, I guarantee it, we celebrate it first with the most important audience, the employees, the right people behind it, suppliers, could be dealers, whatever. They have to feel that they're doing something exciting, significant, and meaningful. And once that happens, they are your army and they're going out in the world and they want to go wage battle for you. That's what I do.
So let's go back into right there where we talked about team, because mm-hmm. the team is everything and it all begins with the culture of the company.
Right.
So what is it that you do and share for our listeners so that they can learn from this is the importance of really bringing on the right people and making sure that the team collaborates as a team and acts as a team versus differentiating that, well, I'm this department and I'm that department, and it becomes a non-collaborative situation.
I think what's most important is choose the words that describe what you're all about. So if you have a mission statement, a vision statement, whatever, if it's the same generic stuff that everybody says, we're here for value, integrity, service, selection, all that kind of stuff, nobody cares. So right, determine those few words that are unique to you. So one of the few words for my company is jam, like a jam session. We talk to people right off the bat when we interview them. We go, look, we are so collaborative. It's almost to a fault. I mean, we're crazy collaborative. We work together all the time. We bounce things off each other every day. And a lot of times people will go, oh, that's great. And I'll go, let me give you an example. We seldom say, hey, you go talk to the client and you own that client and you're the only person that represents us to the client. We don't do that. Once in a while, you may talk to the client one-on-one, but we have, could be a writer, could be a video person, could be a social media person, could be somebody else with you talking to the client and bouncing ideas. And we do it all the time. Now, this may sound interesting to the audience because it sounds like, well, everybody wants that. No, they don't. I've had people go, no, wait a minute. I want to be the face of LaBove. I want to be the face. And I go, I'm so glad you brought that up. It won't work. Because we have people that share in the relationships. That's the way we do it with clients. We have clients who know virtually everybody in the company. We are not the company where one person. We have had people go, well, I'm not sure I can do that. We go, good. So I think you got to stand for something. For us, it's not just, hey, let's have a nice time. Our core values include jamming. You come on board, you got to be ready to collaborate, listen to other people's ideas. And that means you have an idea. Somebody may have an idea to improve your idea. We look at that as great. Answering your question in general, I would be that way. It's really important that we let people know that we are not a one size fits all. We have to be able to present what our company is about and what is the end result for the customer. Are we here just to make money off those people? If so, you got to know that when you're coming in. We tell our employees when they're coming on board that we are the people behind great brands and great people. It's never about us. It's not an ego thing for us. We're not the superstars. We're the ones protecting and helping and guiding. That's what I think you have to do. You got to realize that if you can describe your culture and it's not for everybody, you have a better chance of getting the right person.
Oh, absolutely. Agree 100%. Because when I got back into the computer industry in the 1980s, we had a team of applications guys, salespeople, management, and marketing department. We got all involved in dealing with our customers when, or prospective customers would come in. we would all meet with them so everybody understood work. You know, on Fridays, we would go out for a happy hour as a team and just hang out and have fun. And I'm still friends 45 years later with some of those people who have gone in different directions, but we're still friends and we still talk about some of those great times we had in the company and how we scaled our office because we were a part of a large organization, but totally agree. And we had camaraderie.
Right. And I think what's very important, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I want to bounce off this too, is we cannot allow silos in our companies. People know when I'm bored, we don't recognize silos. Now, this is my culture. I'm not saying it's everybody's, but you can talk to anybody you want if you have a question, an idea, a concern. It doesn't matter because it's not one department versus another versus another. At our company, we have a very, very impressive bonus program. Everybody, every department, everyone, regardless of their age or status, shares equally because our administrative operations person is very valuable. It's not the salesperson makes all the extra money. When we do well, we all share in it. I think it's critical. And today, more than ever, the idea of silos and us versus them just not work. It's not sustainable.
Not in today's world. No, you've got to have a collaborative scenario. I like what you said about sharing everything within the organization, because I've run some companies and that was really the differentiator. Everybody now has ownership into the success of the company. And then you've got everybody in a racing rowboat, so that even though everybody's got a single or the eight-man rowboat, they're all rowing in synchronization and going in that direction because there is a vision, there is a direction, there is a belief. And if you get the win, everybody shares in the win. Now everybody's much more glued together and has got everybody's back. And that's a real differentiating of companies that really scale rapidly. And it's a very cost-effective approach because you're not going through and keep hiring and rehiring and people leaving and retraining and losing all that money. So it's a different mindset than a lot of companies, but it's a very profitable mindset.
The thing I'll also share, and this is how I convince some CEOs who go, look, you don't need to do this big celebration thing with our people. I mean, come on, they're getting paid money. Let's just get going. And I go, no, you got to understand, we have to celebrate their performance and what they do to make this work, because you want high quality in your factory or company, whatever the situation. You want high retention. If a person feels that what they're doing is not that special, it's no big deal. Number one, why would they do a good job? And number two, why do they even want to stay? So it's really smart to celebrate. Now, it's got to be authentic. You can't say to everybody, hey, it's a participation award. You're all here. Everybody's great. We have to be able to talk to human beings and intelligently say, here's what we're all about. Here's why each of you are doing what you're doing. And by the way, so-and-so in operations did this yesterday. And that was so great. That helped us. And all of a sudden, he or she's going, wow, I'm actually part of what's going on here. I'm not some person way in the back. I'm right there front and center. So it's smart to do, and it is profitable.
Yeah. One of my quotes in my book is, people will crawl through broken glass for appreciation and recognition.
Right.
And, you know, when I used to run global sales for a software company years ago, when we hit a certain threshold, I invited everybody into the conference, the software developers, everybody in there. And it was an impromptu meeting. They had no idea what was going on. Even the owner had no idea. And what I did was I had food set up and some bottles of champagne and said, guess what? We just hit this mark in sales for the quarter. And it's because of you guys, because at the end of the day, it's them that made it happen, as well as marketing through resellers. They were independent distributors, and I would recognize them as well. But that's so important. Let's pivot a little bit and share a story of how you guys worked with one of your customers and transformed them into a super fan that's now promoting you to other businesses.
I'll give an example. There's a company that is a copper producer they were looked at as a commodity. And that's one of the things I focus on in my book, which is to fight this commodity monster because it'll eat you alive. So they came to us. They had a really boring name. Nobody would even understand what they are or who they were. We went through our process. We went through 5 steps. First thing we did with them is we talked to their employees, their leadership, their customers, their suppliers, their community, and said, okay, who are these people? What do they do? And what should they never, ever change? Because that's an important question. What should they not change? Because a lot of times entrepreneurs will change anything. Sometimes we're doing something really great. Let's not change it. Maybe that's why people come to work here. Maybe that's why people buy from us. Maybe that's why they are super fans. Let's not change that. The next step we did with this company was we went into their facility to look for differentiation, either in their product, their processes, their procedures, whatever. And we found a number of very interesting things they were doing and providing that were right in front of them that they were too close to. They didn't even see. And we said, isn't this unique? And they went, yeah, I guess so. What did you call this? What do you name it? Well, we don't call it anything. Okay. Well, we're going to name it and we're going to help promote it. So then we went to the next stage. We did a jam session with them. We came up with ideas. We put together a plan. And one of the things we did was we said, you need a real name for your company. And the CEO said, I love it. We named them Copper Works. Their slogan is Where Copper Works. And we came up with campaigns and we're ready to launch it. But then we launched it to the most important people in the world, their employees. Now, Frederick, this was during COVID. So this was a virtual launch. Everybody in the company got a box sent to their house the day before with a note that says, do not open till tomorrow. They opened the box and they found all these really wonderful things, even a craft beer with Copperworks on there, their new logo, new name. We celebrated this with all their employees, and there were several people from all over the world that were on there as well. Once we did that, we also identified one of their differentiators. Their differentiator was they had a highly sustainable copper product they were making. They were charging low money for this, low dollar. They made almost no profit on it. And we said, hold on, this is your best product because it's sustainable. They turned everything around. We named that product. Today, they are the most profitable company in their segment. Their sales are sky high. And they are the premium product. That's an example. But that's all from them discovering with us. We helped them. But them discovering what made them unique and really, really emphasizing it.
So you've transformed them into a super fan of what you guys do. But more importantly, you've transformed that whole business completely.
Right. We are in the transformation business. My company is not an agency that just does an ad or a website. We transform. And that's why I think for businesses, if you want super fans, you have to be able to talk to your prospects and let them know this is who we are. And if that's attractive, great. But if not, there's probably not a good fit. So we're very picky with who we take on. We'll say if you're not looking to transform your company and brand by differentiation, we're probably not a good fit. And it may sound funny, but I've had companies go, we don't need differentiation. Okay, we're not a good fit. So that's what we have to do as small businesses and large, realize we're not for everybody, whether it's employees or customers. One thing I really like with you, Frederick, is that you look at the holistic picture of experience. It's not just customer experience. It's not just employee experience. It's one experience. Yep. And that experience is translated and transferred to the customer. This is who we are. This is how we work. That's important because your employees feel it. Conversely, if your employees feel like, oh my gosh, what I'm doing is great, your customers definitely feel that. And that's why they'll become super fans.
Yeah, because I look at it as the energy comes across. You know, when you're talking and you're just doing a job because it's just a job, because that's your mindset, it's just a job, that comes across. You can't fake it. It's very different. You know, it's like playing in a rock band. I grew up with some guys that had a big band in the Detroit area, Bittersweet Alley. That was the name of the band. But the bottom line is you can't fake it. You got to do it. That goes across to prospective customers, to distributors, to suppliers, everything else. So you get a situation where you've got two people asking that supplier for the same product at the same time. That supplier's going to go, Barry's been super cool, takes care of me. I get a birthday card, lunch every now and then. I'm going to take care of him first and I get to the other guy second. That's the real world. When I was selling manufacturing software, I differentiated myself because other people got stuck into talking about the technology. I started talking about the business and what the objectives were and the growth of the business. And I would basically say, look, there's about three or four other products in this space that can all do the job. So that's not the conversation. The conversation is, where do you see your business going in 2, 3, 4 years? And I started working on strategy. What were the issues and the challenges they were working on and how I can help them achieve those goals? Because this is just a tool. Right. Just like the copper is just copper. But you transformed their whole look on things. And that's what I would do with these guys. And I'd always get the sale.
But you were transforming their business, not just selling them some software.
Correct. Looked at the long game. What do we needed to do? They were my referral sources.
I always talk to my clients first off the bat. And I want to know if it's 3 years from today, what does success look like for them? I need to understand that. Sometimes they have nothing more than a few numbers, but most of the time they have something deeper than just numbers. I Correct. Need to hear that. And then maybe I can help them. If I don't know that, I'm just a vendor. Now, I don't want to be a vendor.
No, because it changes the dynamics when you're having that type of conversation. Sometimes it opens up their eyes to saying, well, you know, really, I never thought of that. I never looked at it that way. And when you start having that conversation with them, it's transformative because all of a sudden a light bulb goes off and goes, wow, you know, that's an interesting concept. And all of a sudden their brains are going in that direction. And now you've become a trusted advisor. You've changed yourself from everybody else. You're now looking at a partner, really becoming a partner with them on their transformation of where they want to go. I remember one of the tool and die shops that was a mold shop. They started out as 40 people, and over a 5-year period, they tripled, bought both buildings on both sides, and they were my number one referral source. It was all because we looked at where they wanted to go, what the objective was, and how I could help them get there. This is just a tool that helps part of the process. Do you have another story you can share of somebody else you've worked with?
One thing I can share is with our work with Harley-Davidson, the thing I learned with them is the experience is your brand, meaning the customer, when they go in, whether it's a dealership, a store, or on the phone, experience that the customer receives in their mind is your brand. Meaning, if I'm a car manufacturer and somebody goes into a car dealership and looks at a car that my company designed and manufactured, but that person gets a terrible, terrible experience, that customer walks out and they say, I'll never buy that brand. Because they connected that dealer, that person, with your product. So one great story is Harley-Davidson asked us to work with their dealers to make sure we're embracing everybody that came in the door. Harley, phenomenal success story, has, you know, an older, and a lot of times it's male, so they'll have an older man come in to look at motorcycles, the group, okay? Well, dealers were very used to looking at men 50 years old and older. But what happens when the 22-year-old woman or a minority? We had to help the dealers understand, embrace everybody and not assume the 22-year-old female is waiting for her father to show up. Let's assume she is a potential customer. We have to realize our experience is our brand. So in their case, it turned out very well. They opened their hearts, minds, and doors at their dealerships to people of all ages, backgrounds, completely diverse individuals, and it helped their market share dramatically.
No, sure it did. I mean, that's the only brand. It's great that you bring up Harley-Davidson because that's the only brand I know that people tattoo themselves with the Harley-Davidson logo.
Right.
On them. I mean, that is, you know, profound.
It's profound. You look at what else will somebody tattoo their shoulder, arm, or legs, and maybe the Navy or the Marines. But I'm telling you, that's how powerful Harley is. Harley understands what makes them different. Their differentiation is not the standard stuff you hear. Cheapest, fastest, most innovative, lowest cost per blah, blah, blah. They understand that they offer a brotherhood and sisterhood of fellow riders who will embrace you when you join up and become an owner of one of their motorcycles. They're not out there claiming perfection. And that's so important. Differentiation should not be confused with perfection or superiority. And Harley-Davidson is such a brilliant company because they understand that. They never come out and say, hey, we're the very best in every category. But boy, nobody touches them when it comes to their Harley owner group and their experience.
Well said, because you just made me remember that when I had a Corvette back in the 70s, the thing was that you would see another Corvette, you would just wave, you know, you just wave. Yes. And that was just a code of ethics back then. It's unfortunate it's disappeared. I really missed that because that was like, we recognized and it was kind of like little community. And that's, Harley's gone way beyond that. That was just a little something that was cool because you felt you were part of something.
Yeah, it's part of your identity.
And that goes back to the culture of the company too. That's where you make people part of something. It's a whole different mindset, a whole different attitude in that environment because now you're on a mission. It's like when I mentioned earlier, when I was in the tech world in the early 80s, we were on a mission. We were taking new technology to engineering, from going from drafting boards to being able to do 3D design on a computer. That was a whole new world, but we were on a mission to transform the engineering. That was our goal back then in the very early beginning. So it's important to have everybody involved in what that mission is and how that transforms the company and everybody associated with that.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about the book.
The book is called The Power of Differentiation. The subtitle tells it all. It's Win, as in W-I-N, Win Hearts, Minds, and Market Share. It's winning the hearts and minds of your employees, supporters, suppliers, of your customers. And guess what happens? You can build your market share. I originally wrote it primarily focused on branding to increase market share. During COVID, I saw a statistic that's 50 million Americans quit their jobs during COVID. 50 million walked off their job, either to not go back into the workforce or to go somewhere else. As I was writing this book on how to differentiate your product to your customer, I thought we need to differentiate our product and our brand to our employees. Because if they don't think it's unique, if they don't think it's special, they're going to walk off the job. 50 million people just did. I guarantee most of them would have said, I don't think I'm doing anything that special. I can do that down the street for 25 cents more an hour. That's what inspired the book. The book is filled with stories of leaders, small and large businesses, who rallied their people, who celebrated their differentiation, and in some cases, they made history with their brands. Very inspiring. We cover many of those stories, as well as how to look at commodities and how to fight the commoditization that's out there today. How to realize perfection isn't worth it. Don't be perfect. Embrace being imperfect. How to use technology, how to use video to promote what you do, and how to view words, because words create worlds. So instead of being quality, selection, service, and value, throw that out. How about coming up with a word that really means something? I mentioned earlier jamming. That's one of our core values. Jamming. That nobody has jamming as a core value out there but my company. I have a client that came up with a great one, rigor. That's a lot better than saying quality.
Sure.
My point is the book shares all of that. It's inspirational. It's a wonderful, positive focus on people who have made a difference for many people. And my goal is to influence 1 million people with that message.
Well, we're on the same mission, just different verbiage a little bit. My goal is to help people transform their whole ecosystem into an army of business super fans promoting that business, and it'll skyrocket. And it won't cost them a ton of money. One of my sayings is, the little things is really the big thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people get caught up in focusing on the big thing and they forget about doing the little thing.
Exactly.
And sadly, that doesn't lead to where it should lead.
You're right.
So, great conversation here, Barry, as we wrap up towards the end here. How can people find you?
I'm on LinkedIn. Please reach out. I have people reaching out from all over the world. So Barry LaBove, L-A, B as in boy, O-V as in Victor, L-A-B-O-V. Also my company's website, LaBove.com, or mine, BarryLaBove.com. Feel free to go to Amazon and buy my book, The Power of Differentiation, and leave an honest review. I love the reviews. I believe it's a book that people really can utilize, no matter if they have a small business or large one.
Differentiating is everything. We'll make sure that's all in the show notes for our listeners so they can get all the links and everything else as well. Do you have anything for our listeners by chance?
What I do want to say is don't feel frustrated. If you want more excitement at your company or you want more buy-in, understand it's very common. The customers I work with are searching to find more inspiration for their people and for themselves. Take a look at what you are already doing and look at it through a different lens. There has to be one thing, maybe two or three you are doing as a company that are really unique. Hold on to them, celebrate them.
Barry, it's been a pleasure having you on the Business Superfans podcast show. Great conversation, great insight for our listeners. And we definitely look forward to having you on the show again down the road.
Thank you, Frederick. It has been an honor.
Hey, superfan, superstar, Freddie D here. Before we wrap, here's your 3A playbook power move to attract ideal clients, turn them into advocates, and accelerate your business success. The top insight of today's episode is, if your own team doesn't believe your brand is special, no customer ever will. Differentiation must start from the inside out. So here's your business growth action step. Before your next campaign, rally your internal team around one bold, emotional brand differentiator and celebrate it like you would a product launch. If today's conversation sparked an idea for you, or you know of a fellow business leader who would benefit, share it with them and grab the full breakdown in the show notes. Let's accelerate together and start creating business superfans who champion your brand.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Business Superfans podcast. If you found today's conversation valuable, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share this episode with someone who could use these powerful insights to level up their business. Remember, creating business superfans isn't just about your customers. It's about fostering genuine, impactful connections across your entire business ecosystem. When you invest in those relationships, success doesn't just happen, it accelerates. Until next time, I'm your host, Freddie D. Let's keep building superfans, creating unstoppable momentum, and driving your business toward extraordinary success. See you in the next episode.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to BusinessSuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the Accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.